Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. You know what? It was a snowless southern Wisconsin for quite a long time this season. And finally, with the recent snowstorm, we finally have some snow on the ground in the southern part of the state. And that means for most of the state now has some snow. And that means that time to get out for some winter sports. And we'll talk snowshoeing today with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. He's an avid winter sportsman. Great to see you again, Darren.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Talking snowshoeing with him, you may have a question about snowshoes, maybe about an experience that you have relating to snowshoeing. Or possibly other winter sports as well. Maybe questions about where to go. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Darren, you posted some photos on our Facebook page. You know, and I really hope other people post their photos, wintertime photos as well. But you've got the whole family there for a little... snowshoeing.
My son got married this August, and he brought his new wife with him, and the snow started, and as soon as it finished, we're going to Governor Dodge. That's our go-to. We love it there. So we went out and ran around a little bit, and there was nobody else there because it was windy and cold, but we had a great time.
And so Governor Dodge, obviously for you, that's a place you would recommend for people to go.
Absolutely. They've got really good trails. And they've got cross-country ski trails as well, but they have ones that are specific for snowshoeing.
Yeah, and which usually the two don't mix well.
Well, I mean, if you're polite, they do. We usually, I tell snowshoers, walk on the side out of the tracks, and you're fine. You know, that's fine. We're all... you know, brothers and sisters in the snowshoe and skiing thing. So yeah, it's fine.
What's the history of snowshoeing? It goes back quite a ways, doesn't it?
It goes back before anybody wrote anything about it. That's for sure. You know, someone watched a snowshoe here run across the snow and said, "Hey, wait a second, I'm sinking down to my knees. This is lame." So they strapped a couple pieces of bark to their feet and off they went. And then they figured out, you know, we could probably make these lighter and more effective. And there you go. So
that's it. So it got started a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really knows because, artifacts like, metal and clay last, right? Snowshoes, they'd rot after a couple of years on the ground. So no one really knows.
You mentioned getting knee deep in snow without them, but how much snow do you need to have to be snowshoeing?
Well, as much as we had 5 inches or so at the park, and we could have walked, but it would have been a lot less comfortable, less traction, more tiring. So yeah, you don't need that much.
I'm amazed at how much less work it is to walk with snowshoes as opposed to without snowshoes, even in 5-6 inches of snow.
Right. It's very different. And you get up to 18 inches, 2 feet, and you forget.
Oh, man. Then you really...
Well, what I like about Facebook is I'm getting these memories, 2 years ago, this is what you were doing. And they're all snowshoeing pictures. And one of them was I was out at Governor Dodge when they had about 2 feet of snow. And I stopped to adjust my binding or something. And I stepped off my shoe and went down to my hip. It was like, boom. And you forget. Yeah.
you forget how deep it is,
right?
Or how deep it can be. We had a Facebook photo on the comments section from Geraldine, too, and she says, "We're avid snowshoers and snowshoe in Monroe County along the La Crosse River. We agree with Jerry Apps that this is the quiet season."
I love Jerry Apps.
Isn't he wonderful?
He's wonderful. Yeah, and absolutely right. And the snow... when there's a lot of it and when it's falling, it just deadens all the sound. And you can walk and just all you hear is the, little crunch, crunch, crunch of your shoes.
We have callers online. You can join in as well. We have open lines certainly at 1-800-642-1234. And Nancy in St. Croix has a question, so let's go there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Nancy, for calling. What can we do for you?
I have two questions. I have seen some snowshoers with a pole or two poles. I don't know if those are ski poles or some other kind of pole. Is it good to have these poles? My second question is regarding running in snowshoes.
Okay, well, the first question is, do you like using poles?
I don't really care for anything extra.
Okay, so here's the way I look at it. If you like it, it's great. Especially if you're new and you're walking in deeper snow, it's nice to have something that can help you keep your balance. The other thing is it does provide a little bit more of a workout because you're using your whole body. So I think that's great. As far as ski poles go, yeah, cross-country ski poles, especially skating poles, are a little bit long. So a little bit shorter pole is good. But, yeah, they work just fine. And, you know, one or two, is whatever you like is just fine.
Okay. And I've noticed in our area we have a lot of snowshoe races for the runners who want a snowshoe and don't want to run in the snow. Is that a different kind of snowshoe that they're using to run?
Yes and no. Generally, it's a much smaller shoe because you're running on a compacted course. But there are traditional snowshoe races where you use an Alaskan snowshoe, which is 60 inches by 12 inches. So it just depends. Most of the races, though, they use a small shoe.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your advice.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Nancy. Appreciate your comments and questions. And let's turn to Steve in Montreal next. Hi, Steve.
Well, good morning. Welcome to beautiful Montreal, where we have snow on the ground.
Good for you.
And my snowshoes are up here against by the window in the living room. We have snowshoe walks scheduled every Wednesday until the middle of March. You get information on that, like at Hobby Wheel over in Bessemer. And they are held throughout Iron Gogebic County, places like... Mark Fitting Walk is coming up at the Michigan Welcome Center here on the 6th. And they go, as I say, throughout the county. Wolverine is a fantastic sight over in Bessemer. Hobby Wheel's a good place to go. Sam Davey did a lot of this work and taking people around. I'm new to snowshoeing. I've got some tubs. They've got the steel grippers on the bottom if I get into icy stuff, and it's a good thing for middle-aged people to get some exercise.
Good comments there, Steve. He's right about the exercise, for sure.
Yeah, you know what's cool about that is, you know, all smartphones, a lot of smartphones have a little sensor on them where you can, you know, test your heart rate. And we were out yesterday, and my daughter-in-law said, you know, this is good exercise. And we weren't breathing hard, but we could talk. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what's your heart rate? It's probably like 120, 125. And she got, let me check. And she put her thumb on. She was like, yeah, it's 125. That's a great heart range because you're... You know, you're burning fat, you're getting your blood moving, but you're not exerting yourself so much that you feel like, you know,
I'm dying out here.
Right. And we walked for about 2 hours, and, you know, our quads were a little sore because we hadn't done it yet this year. But it was great, and we all felt good afterwards.
And burned more than 1,000 calories a couple hours out there.
Yeah, my guess is, yeah, we made it for the barbecue we ate afterward in Dodgeville.
Well, what about these? Steve's talking about Bessemer and places up in that neck of the woods where people can snowshoe.
Oh yeah, I mean, up on the border, I assume he's Montreal, Wisconsin, up by the Montreal River. That's a beautiful place, and the Porkies and the UP. I mean, there's so many places here that are beautiful, and I love snowshoeing along rivers. You know, you don't want to get too close, obviously, but you get a lot of running water and the sound of it. And it's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Susan from Milwaukee up next. Hi, Susan. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I always love your show. Anyway, I was wondering what the cost of snowshoes, what kind of range it would be. And also, if you could give me some suggestions about where to get them.
Sure.
Okay. So the range just depends. I mean, you can get them for $69.95 at Costco. They're worth exactly $69.95 because you get what you pay for. you can spend up to $250, $350, and get really high-tech stuff, you know, TIG-welded metal aluminum frames and super good bindings and stuff. So generally, you get what you pay for. You can get a nice pair for $150.
And you sell them at Rutabaga?
Yeah, we do. Yep.
And you fit as well, do you not? Or what's the whole process? I guess I want to go someplace where I'm going to have somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, basically, there's just sizes. You know, the heavier you are, the larger shoe you need.
Yep.
There are male and female-specific shoes. Female shoes tend to be a little bit narrower to accommodate the way female hips move, a little bit more comfortable. It's more like how much do you weigh and how much are you carrying? So, like, I'm about 200 pounds. I use a large shoe just because I'm about 200 pounds.
Yeah.
A little better flotation. Sometimes I carry a little pack, and, you know, that's 230.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, my wife uses small shoes, and my son uses big shoes because he's a big dude. And so that's basically it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Susan, for calling. Appreciate it. And that photo on our Facebook page, by the way, the title of it's The Larry Mueller Show. So go there and take a look at the photos from Darren. And your son is, in that photo, is wearing the first pair you ever made?
It's the first pair I ever made 27 years ago, something like that.
And you just finished, which what number?
I just finished number 52 a couple days ago.
Holy cow. And these are the beautiful classic.
I like wood, and I like weaving. So, you know, my wife knits. So we'll sit in the basement and watch a movie, and if the movie isn't very good, it doesn't matter because I just sit there and weave, and she knits, and at the end of a couple movies, I've got a couple footbeds done, and yeah, it's a good time. It's very meditative.
Do you have in the past taught snowshoe making? Have you done it? You haven't done it recently.
I haven't done it for a while, just because it's a big commitment. It's over a weekend, and you know, usually it's my wife and I teaching 10 to 12 people, and it's
a lot of work.
Well, and you know, the older you get, the more you value your time off. And yeah. I love teaching. I don't know if I love teaching enough to give a weekend up.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Talking today with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and a snowshoe maker and snowshoer extraordinaire. So you have a question for him, or maybe an experience to share about snowshoeing, or maybe other winter sports as well. We could talk cross-country skiing, too. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly, if you're into those sports, we'd love to hear where you like to go as well, because I know people are always wondering, oh, where should I go or what's the best place to go? So give us a call again or shoot us a note on email or Facebook to that effect as well. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Always look forward to visiting with Darren Bush. We talk about a variety of things, and, you know, it kind of depends on the season. And here we are in winter, and we've got snow on the ground across Wisconsin. What better to talk about than snowshoeing with Darren? And call in with your own questions, comments, or experiences to share. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Carol sent an email and says, I'm a bit old to be a beginner in snowshoeing, but would love to learn. Does Rutabaga have different types of snowshoes to try before actually buying some? I have no clue what type or size I'd need, even if I can do it.
Absolutely. And as far as being too old, that's nonsense. 100 years ago, I'd say, oh, pshaw. That's just not true. If you can go for a walk, you can snowshoe.
And so you guys, for example, could fit her, give her suggestions on what to buy and so forth.
Absolutely. In fact, one of my employees, Ethan, moved to Boulder for a period of time a couple of years ago and worked for one of the snowshoe companies out there. And he's so we have this yin and yang thing going. He's the expert on the moderns, and
you're the old-timey guy.
I'm the old-timey guy, right.
Okay. So there you go, Carol. We had a, and you know, kind of going along with that, we had an email question from Barbara, who also says, we're an older couple. We're thinking about learning. Is it a good exercise for those of us with limits on our exerting ourselves? Our limits are related to cardiac, but under supervision by doctors. So, you know, so we do know our own limitations. What do you think about learning to use snowshoes?
I think it's wonderful. It's super low impact because you've got the cushion of the snow. It's like adding a couple pounds weight to your feet, so that helps. Excuse me. It's great. And the other thing is you can monitor your heart rate.
Yeah.
And if you've got, you know, a Fitbit or a heart rate monitor or something like that, you know, just keep your heart rate where your doctor says to keep it. And if it goes up, slow down.
Yeah, there you go. And it's easy to do. Just stop putting one leg in front of the other.
Yeah, just don't move.
There we go. No, that's great, Barbara. I hope you guys do that. George in Fort Atkinson up next. Hi, George.
How you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Well, I just commenting on snowshoeing. I have the fortune of teaching a class in Yellowstone. I teach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and I teach a class in Yellowstone every winter. We take kids out there snowshoeing, and just as a comment for people that might be worried about their heart condition, we're at 7,000 feet elevation and traipsing around in the middle of the winter, and I'm 62 years old, so if I can do it, I think anybody can. And one other comment I wanted to make was that UW-Stevens Point offers classes on snowshoe making up at Treehaven. They have you can go up there for a weekend and learn how to make snowshoes.
Yeah, that's the same type of shoe I used to teach. So I'm glad that Treehaven still does it. That's great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks, George, for that information. Appreciate it very much. Maybe Cheyenne, you can post that up on our Facebook page. And we'll, I tell you what, George, I'm going to put you on hold so Cheyenne can get some information from you, okay?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, hold on. We'll put you on hold. And let's go to Connie Joe in Blue Mounds. Hi, Connie Joe.
Good morning, Larry. Yeah, I just wanted to relate the first winter I was on snowshoes on the farm. It's a rolling country here, and we had wooden snowshoes, and I used ski poles to get around, and it was great. But I kept thinking something was following me because the snow was deep, and in where the snow had swept or the wind had swept the snow across, it was kind of hard, and the air underneath, I could hear it whooshing, but I didn't realize it was the air for a while underneath, and I kept thinking something was following me. But now I'm older, and because we get so much ice around here, I have snowshoes with ice crampons, and I think anybody who is concerned about that or wants to go, even with those kind of icy conditions, it's best to get those blades underneath.
Now those crampons, yeah.
Yeah, it just depends on the snow.
Yep.
Out west, the modern shoes are very, very popular because, you know, you're climbing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You've got, we call it, you know,
yep,
crusty, you know, freeze-thaw conditions.
Yes, and as I'm older, I don't want to fall.
Absolutely.
Me neither. Yeah.
Thanks, Connie.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. And that's very, very good information and advice about those crampons, for sure. Keith in Madison, it's your turn next. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I really enjoy your show, Larry. Listen probably every day.
Thanks, Keith.
My question, though, is I found a pair of wooden snowshoes at a garage sale, and I'm just wondering what you do to maintain that rawhide webbing.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. This is not an uncommon question I get. So the first thing is to get it clean. Don't use water. I don't like to use water. Just get a soft, you know, bristle brush, like a toothbrush or something. Just clean off the gunk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they're really dirty, yeah, you can scrub them a little bit, but let them dry thoroughly before you do anything, because the water is the enemy of rawhide. Then I use a high urethane content varnish. I use a spar varnish I get from West Marine called Pettit, and it's about $40, $45 a quart, so it's not cheap. But you can do, you know, half a dozen pairs of snowshoes with it. And, you know, when you look at the cost of the varnish, you know, you can get $20 varnish from the hardware store, but it's junk. So the more urethane, the better, because, you know, think of urethane, think of like melted down skateboard wheels. You know, it's really, really flexible. And the more flexible, the better it'll adhere in the bed, longer it will last.
There you go.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Keith, I think, was writing down your comments as you spoke them, but which is good. Steve in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, Larry, and hello, guest. I got a question kind of similar to the previous caller's one. I build my own snowshoes. I do a lot of primitive trekking, and a lot of it takes place in the winter because we live in Wisconsin. And what do you use on your rawhide when you first stretch it into the frame to get it to where it's a waterproof? Do you use the same urethane that you were just speaking of, or do you prep it some other way?
Nope, same stuff. Yep.
Same stuff.
Make
all
sure
right.
They're
and
really
you
dry.
It green?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah, make sure it's dry, 100% bone dry, which is easy in the winter. You just put it in your house. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And name it again, because people are going to be calling in saying, well, what was it again?
It's called Pettit. It's Pettit. But you can
I use exactly the same stuff. I was just wondering if there was a better answer.
Oh, and they also have, there's a traditional amber color and then the regular clear color. Use the traditional amber. They look a lot better.
That's what I was using.
Great.
But it seems to wear off after a long winter. So I just thought, well, maybe there's something different. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to wear off no matter what, especially if you're on those icy crystals. They will wear off. But, you know, every couple of years I'll just throw a coat on with a little cheapo paintbrush. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, the more the better.
And sounds like Steve's the guy that gets out there a lot, which obviously means it's going to wear. You know, the more you use it, use it a lot, it's going to wear.
Sure.
We have open lines at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's turn to Barbara in West Bend next. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, Larry. Thanks so much. I really enjoy your show. I'm new to Wisconsin. I lived for 40 years in the UP, Houghton, Marquette.
Ah.
So I'm used to a lot of snow. And there were days you could not cross-country ski, and you could just snowshoe, because snowshoe is always possible. And you can always change from the big floating wood snowshoes to the more modern plastic aluminum ones. Anyways, what I was really going to point out, I live between West Bend and Slinger, and the Cedar Lakes Conservation Foundation has a real nice ski area, and now it's also a snowshoe area, part of their system. And I just came back, I snowshoed for an hour, and I am sweaty.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was gorgeous, because this is in the Kettle Moraine, and it's up and down. And actually, at some point, I thought, really? I didn't expect so many hills around here. It just kept winding around the kettles and up the cames, and they have a new parking lot. It's called Sleeping Dragon Road, and they have a map, and they do kind of expect contribution as far as using the trails. But what they did do new this year was they did establish a separate snowshoe trail, which intersects a couple times with the cross-country trails, but you're also allowed to bring your dog, which is really important for me, because I can bring my dog and I can snowshoe, and it was great.
And how does the dog do?
Oh, great, because there isn't all that much snow. When I used to snowshoe in the UP, it was 300 and some inches. The dogs had a hard time. But around at this point, we don't have that much snow, so it's perfect for the dogs.
I don't think you're going to see 300 inches.
Oh.
I was going to make one other comment.
I wish.
on the deep snow, as far as poles, because I listen to people know, before I came on. What I found really helpful in deep snow is the big powder baskets on your poles. So you actually don't sink in with your poles, but you have a little flotation with your poles as well.
Absolutely.
That's very good points. Barbara, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. I really appreciate your show.
Thank you so much. Well, part of a good show are callers like Barbara and everyone else who's called in. And You can call in, too, 800-642-1234. Corey in Door County up next with a comment. Hi, Corey.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Well, in regards to the caller who was talking about making his own snowshoes, anyone can make their own snowshoes with a little bit of knowledge of the wood. And if you can't afford $250 or $300, just find yourself a nice piece of cedar. Make sure it's young and flexible. Shape it the way you want. You know, you can make rawhide. You can do wire. That's what I do. You know, I'm a little nervous right now being on the radio.
Oh, you're doing a great job, Corey.
My voice is a little shaky. But, yeah, just find yourself a nice piece of young cedar. Skin it down. Split it down the middle, not all the way. Wrap the end that's not split so it doesn't split any further. And bind it up with wire or rawhide. Make some foot bindings. You know, just use your imagination. That's all.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. And Darren, what about it?
Corey, could you send me some pictures? I would love to see them.
I can try.
Yeah, it's.
I don't have a computer. I'm kind of living in the 1800s myself.
Why doesn't that not surprise me? Well, find a friend. If you can find someone to take a picture, send it. ToadSnowshoes@gmail.com is my snowshoe email.
All right, I'll do that.
All right,
thank you.
Toad Snowshoes.
ToadSnowshoes@gmail. Yeah.
At Gmail. Oh, all right. Yeah, you know, and I bet you Corey makes some nice ones, but it's a little harder than, I mean, he sounds like a handy guy.
He probably makes his own everything. So, yeah, it's a little harder than that. But, yeah, I think it's great to try. I mean, someone made their first snowshoes.
So somebody had to, why not?
Right, and they probably used cedar because it was available. Yeah.
And I suppose, I imagine there's even kits out there.
Yeah, snowshoe.com is a company called Countryways up in the Twin Cities, and they make snowshoe kits. I think they're about $180, $160 okay. bucks, but they're bent steamed ash frames. They're very mm-hmm. strong. They come with lacing. The pattern is pretty simple. If you pay attention and go yeah. slow, you should be able to lace your own, and then you varnish them up and go.
There you go. Marilyn in Cleveland, Wisconsin next. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, hi. I'm asking about actually what kind of boots to wear because I snowshoe and they get covered with snow and wet, and they crack where the shoe bends. And I wondered if there's something better. I get leather.
I don't think there's anything better than leather, but that's just my perspective. The trick is to keep it flexible, and I use a lot of Neatsfoot oil or Norwegian oil, it's called, to soak into the leather and really make it flexible.
Okay, so you have to do that every season?
You have to do it as often as your leather says, I need it.
So maybe a couple, three times, depending on how much you go out.
It sounds like yours are pretty dry, so I'd soak them. And don't put them by a heater or anything like that, because that's not good for the leather. Soak them, let it sit for a day, soak them again. And when it sits on top of the leather, just buff it with a cloth and go.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, and they're going to look nice, too.
Yes, they will.
When you do it that way. Diane and Spooner, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. We have a pair of the traditional wooden snowshoes, and the lacings have kind of broke on us.
Yep.
Yep.
Do we need to completely pull those out and start over, or can we repair those?
It depends where it is, and it depends on the brittleness of the rawhide.
Okay.
I mean, generally, you can fix small repairs, small breaks. I just repaired a pair of shoes for a guy who, they were his grandfather's, and they were from the 1910s. And they had a crack, a couple of the on the toe cord, the part that goes right across the end of the ball of your foot, had two breaks in it. And that's kind of like breaking a major ligament. It's hard to repair. So I just replaced the whole footbed for him. But yeah, small repairs are totally doable.
Yeah, I think ours are kind of like what you described, kind of in the ball of the foot. And it's kind of starting to unlace even a little bit through the snowshoes.
Yep, that's a redo probably.
Okay, so just completely pull them out, and then where do we buy the rawhide then from?
There's a company in Canada, in Quebec, called Faber, F-A-B-E-R. that sells rawhide. It's actually where I get the rawhide I need sometimes if I need different sizes. They have them from half inch wide down to very small.
Okay.
So they'll do it for you.
And then obviously the more we use them, I mean, we're using them like that now, but the more they're just going to keep breaking them.
At some point they'll go.
And at some point they'll come.
It'll probably be when you're far away from the car.
Yeah.
There you go. And that Saber, do you have a website for it or a telephone number? Or
I don't off the top of my head, but if you go to Faber...
.org, probably.
Well, it's probably .com.
You think it's .com?
Actually,
oh, yeah.
Send me an email at my email, toadsnowshoes@gmail.com, and I will forward you the link. And
great.
The
Thank you so much.
There. Sure.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Dan and Merrimack next. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Larry. Say, I just wanted to make a comment. One of the things that I found makes snowshoeing a little more comfortable is to wear gaiters along with the snowshoe itself.
Yep.
It just keeps the snow from getting down your socks and onto your legs and that. So just a comment for those that are interested in it.
Yeah, and now gaiters are what?
Absolutely. So gaiters, G-A-I-T-E-R. Not like the alligator.
Yeah.
They basically go around your ankle and attach under your boot, and they go up your calf. Depends on how long they are. They can go all the way up just under your knee. And those are the kind I use. The best ones are from Outdoor Research, and they're called alligator. Crocodiles. They're called crocodile gaters. They're bomb-proof. They last forever. They've been rated number one by Backpacker, you know, since Backpacker was around. They're really, really good, and they'll keep the snow out of your boot.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, pack boots, like, you know, L.L. Bean boots and things like that come up a little higher. Those work really well. And then I wear mukluks a lot just because I like how the moccasin-like bottom feels with the snowshoe.
Mm. There we go. Dan, thank you very much for calling. And Ray and Rhinelander are up next. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling.
Well, and thank you for having your guest on. He's very knowledgeable. I have a lot of experience in the past with snowshoeing. Two things. I lived in the UP for a while, and I know what it means. I was up there in the mid-90s where they had up to 400-some inches of snow, and that was interesting. Talk about dealing with different kinds of snowshoes with different applications. It was amazing. But anyways, to make a long story short, I came back to Wisconsin. I was retired from the state, and I went back to the state of Wisconsin again, but in the capacity as a forestry technician up at Trout Lake. Well, they had all kinds of snowshoes from there, from the antique wood ones, the Adirondacks. We had all different kinds, and I would experiment with all these different old snowshoes in different conditions and up to the modern ones. And I had worked in swamps, every terrain, everything, because you have to go in there and gather the data as a forestry tech. I also got to repair and take care of these snowshoes. So a lot of what you're saying I had to experiment with and work, and I even picked up some things today from you on this. But it's interesting when you've done things like that and when you work in that capacity and you work in all kinds of conditions, snow conditions, you know, there's different types of snowshoes, different lengths, different widths for dry snow, going across fields, in swamps, wet snow, and I'll tell you, there's so many applications. It's quite an experience in the science, and I agree with you on the different footwear and gaiters and all that. I mean, you discover all that as it goes on, so I'm complimenting you. I love your knowledge. I'm probably going to buy a pair of snowshoes from you if you still make them and sell them, and thanks for being on. It was wonderful, and have a happy new year.
Yeah.
Gee, Ray, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ray.
Yeah, I experiment a lot as well. The lacing patterns that I've come up with are all my own, based on just trial and error and a lot of error. So, yeah, that works.
Tim in Kenosha up next. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What's your question?
Thanks for taking it. There's, like, different brands. What do you think is a good brand for a snowshoe?
Totally depends on your budget. There's a couple brands I really like. So MSR snowshoes are very modern. They don't have a laced flotation, or it's a solid shoe. They're fairly inexpensive, and a lot of people use them for rentals. They don't float quite as nice, but they're in a good value. You know, Tubbs makes a nice shoe. Right. Atlas makes a nice shoe. My favorite is a company out of Boulder, Colorado.
And how much are those?
$150 to $250 depends on the way they're put together.
And what's that company name?
It's of course just fell out of my head.
It's Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, I know what it is. If you email me, I'll tell you. I don't know why. I know this. I know the owner. He's a really great guy.
Yeah, it's happened to me plenty of times.
And it just fell out of my head. Crescent Moon. There we go. Yep. Fell back in. They're great. The cool thing about Crescent Moon is they're locally made. Made in the States. That's not true for a lot of shoes anymore. They are in a factory that is 100% green powered. They recycle 90-something% of their stuff. It's just really cool. They outsource their welding for their frames because they want them done perfectly. So there's a guy that TIG welds them down the block.
Oh, perfect is good.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're really, really cool.
There you go, Tim.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate your call as well. We had many Facebook comments as well. Well, a Facebook question from Dawn wondering if you could give any advice on avoiding balls of snow that can accumulate under the foot during warmer weather.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot, especially with leather bindings. So what I do is I spray them with a little bit of silicone spray, and that helps quite a bit just so it doesn't build up, and then you just have to kick it out once in a while. But, yeah, 31 and a half degrees, wet, gooey snow, they definitely build up under there.
Facebook comment from Sue. The school forest in Marshfield, Wisconsin, has wonderful trails for snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, both classic and skate, and flat-tire biking. The trails are open daily, and the lodge is open from 10 to 4 on weekends. And there's a free wax clinic this Saturday at 11, ski instruction at 1. Our first lantern ski of the season will be January 23rd. Come and enjoy our great trails. That's the school forest in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Perfect, yeah.
Perfect. And I bet you if you go online and just type that in, you're going to get all the information.
Absolutely. And there's Candlelight Snowshoe all over the place. If you just Google Candlelight Snowshoe, Wisconsin, they'll all pop up.
And we had one email comment from Lynn in Wales. I transitioned to snowshoeing from cross-country skiing a few years ago. Much safer for us old folks. I have never fallen on my snowshoes. I'd like to recommend the Ice Age Trail at Lapham Peak State Park. I believe there are rentals available at the park. I've done a 10K over there and during the summer, and there's some challenging hills.
Yeah, the Ice Age Trail is wonderful.
Yeah,
it's a great resource. The other thing is I transitioned. I mean, I still cross country ski and I still love it.
Yeah.
But when I take pictures and go out and do photography, I always snowshoe because.
Oh yeah.
You want to take a picture, you stop. You don't slide. You don't move.
That's exactly
right.
No
herringbones. None of that. You just stop, click, and you're done.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Darren. I know we've got your next appointment here scheduled, so look forward to that next visit. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, is also an avid winter sportsman. And, of course, Rutabaga Paddle Sports also handles snowshoes and related paraphernalia and gear. Lots of clothing, too. I've been over and purchased a few of those things myself. That's right here in Madison, Wisconsin. But you can go online to rutabaga.com and find out all you need to know right there. We have some links on our Facebook page as well. A lot of fun in the outdoors. You know, another magazine that kind of celebrates the outdoors, particularly, any month of the year, but certainly in December, is Our Wisconsin Magazine. Mike Bino's the editor. He comes by every couple of months to talk with us about what's going on in his office in Manitowish Waters and what's going on with Our Wisconsin. And he's up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.